Senate Committee on Veterans Emergency Preparedness will come to order. Colleagues, before we start, Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Chair Boquist. This little vignette is written by a woman combat veteran. Her name is Staff Sergeant Chantel Lotson in the U.S. Army. And she writes, "What makes it a lot harder is to know that you're over there fighting for a cause and for a purpose. It's not only to fight for our freedom, but for our patriotic spirit. And when you have our own people back over here in the States, it's okay to protest, but it causes a lot of chaos. It hurts for some people to have a family member who's bringing negativity on. Support us no matter what. We're out there trying to do a job. We're fighting for you. We're fighting for everybody. We want to help them establish their own government so that they can have a nice place to be just like we have. America, you know. We want everyone to feel that experience, whether we're good or bad. We have bad in the States. We have bad across the world. But we still have to help keep our troops' spirits alive. It's hard knowing you're over there fighting and you've got people fighting over here." Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Colleagues, we're going to actually go right down the agenda with the exception that SB 127, which actually revolves around issues of the Oregon Resilience Plan, we're not going to hear, but later in the session we will come back to the Oregon Resilience Plan and specifically the liquid fuel issue, which is the choke point for emergency response. So for members of the committee and the public, 127 won't be heard today. In addition, the placeholder, which was SB 129, we found another mechanism for the issue that it was being held for. It will not be heard. So we'll actually be discussing SB 532 with a dash 2 amendment, SB 832 with a dash 1 amendment, and then having a work session on SB 762 reference the dash 4 amendment. With that, I'm going to go ahead and open a public hearing on SB 532. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there were no witnesses signed up on Senate Bill 532. This is a previously heard on April the 18th. The Dash 2 amendment, which is a refinement of the Dash 1, entirely replaces the original content of Senate Bill 532. It removes the requirement that annual earthquake drills be held in April so that they can be held at any time for employers of 250 or more full-time employees, and it permits drills other than the current FEMA standard, which is duck, cover, and hold on.
Right. And colleagues, this is going to go over to the far side of the chamber, to the other house, and then we'll sit down probably and have discussions again with Representative Matthews and those folks over there.
Mr. Chair, sorry for the clarification. Members of the committee, we did receive a minimal fiscal. It may not yet be posted on OLIS on the Dash 2, and no revenue impact.
Chair Bulk,
we're in hearing. Close the public hearing, open a work session for SB 532. Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Boquist, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 16th, 2013.
Madam Vice Chair, Montes Anderson moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 16th, 2013. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, any opposition? I'd like the record to reflect that Senator Courtney is excused on business of the Senate. With that, so ordered. And I will carry the bill on the
floor. Wait, Chair Boquist?
Yes.
I move Senate Bill 532 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair Montes Anderson, moves SB 532 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Please have the record reflect that Senator Courtney is excused on business of the Senate. So ordered. I will be the carrier. And with that, we'll close the work session on SB 532, open a public hearing on SB 832. Madam Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 832 comes with a Dash 1 amendment. It designates every second Sunday in August as the Spirit of 45 Day. The Dash 1 amendment merely adds opening language as part of the preamble that is specific to the state of Oregon.
Thank you. Ms. Jensen, we'll let you go first.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Barbara Jensen. I am Oregon's delegate to the Spirit of 45 campaign, which is a five-year campaign that started in 2010. Congressman Fellner, who was then a congressman back in Washington, California congressman, carried the legislation and is now the mayor as of December 2012 of San Diego. So he's kind of moved positions, but it's good for San Diego because they're making a big deal out of the Spirit of 45 there. I have with me today two people. One, my mother, an 87-year-old member of the Greatest Generation, and a student from a local school here that actually wrote about my mother as a history project, and they're both going to testify and share their stories with you.
Thank you.
I have submitted my testimony, which is three pages, but I'm just going to like gloss over it because you don't want to hear it all again. As Cheyenne said, this designates the second Sunday of August to be a celebrated day for World War II veterans. In combination with honor flights that happen in America, we can talk about in a minute, and other activities that Department of Veterans Affairs is involved in, we are celebrating a movement across America. Interesting that Oregon is bringing this to the legislature in a more formal way than most states have. California has made it permanent ink, and now we are, as the second state in the nation, doing the same. This World War II generation of self-sacrifice, courage, can-do attitude, unity, is something that the spirit of the campaign wants to instill in our youth, and that's why you see youth at the table here today. I think that it's important that we move this into the future generations, those values that they subscribe to, that rebuilt a nation and helped us, creating that strong America. The profile of the campaign is to celebrate four times a year. They have four annual events, one in February, which is a leadership conference in San Diego, where 100 or so individuals get together and talk about what will happen over the nation. May, when it's Memorial Day, there are parades and activities throughout the nation. August, when we really do have the second Sunday in August, originally 1945, August 14th, when Harry Truman named that was the end of the World War II. And then November for Veterans Day and the parades that take place over the country. My father is up here to my right. He was an intercept operator in World War II stationed in England. And his photo is carried in the parade in New York City among many other veterans. And in fact, if you'll, I don't think the Wall of Honor is there, but let me put it up. Last summer in Washington, D.C., at the August celebration, that wall of honor, 120 feet long, included 1,945 servicemen photos, and my dad was one of them. Ironically, he was next to Clark Gable, so apparently he was also World War II vet. As far as partners go, we've got corporate partners like Walgreens, HP, and Ancestry.com. Ancestry.com did that wall of honor. They also did a couples in love photo, and I'll show you that in a minute. Some couples that were married during the war. Definition of war bride is that an American soldier married a gal, one in 22 countries, and a million war brides that came to America. Community partners. I'm working closely with the Honor Flight, and I understand that Portland is just launching a hub of an Honor Flight. An Honor Flight is a group of volunteers who help veterans get back to their memorial in Washington, D.C. And there is a move underway to take yet another plane of veterans in May and one in September from Oregon. The Oregon Memorial Fund is also on the radar in terms of trying to coordinate and work together and partner with them, making kind of a better plan together, unifying each other's programs to make sure we do things in tandem. And then the Spirit of 45, working with the Department of Veterans Affairs. So introduced to Brian's some months ago with the legislation that is really a reflection of the congressional delegation. And I'd like to share that with you, Congressman Filner's two-minute video when he presented it.
Mr. Speaker, I'm pleased to yield to the gentleman from California, Mr. Filner, the author of the resolution for such time as he may consume.
The gentleman from California, Mr. Filner, is recognized for as much time as he might consume.
I thank the gentlelady, and as the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, I ask all my colleagues to support HCON Res 226, is that the name? 226 to honor our great heroes of the Second World War. I also ask unanimous consent, Madam Speaker, for to insert my written remarks in the record at this point. And we all know that this was the war that was carried out by the greatest generation. And the Spirit of 45 Memorial Day is to set aside for us and our children, our grandchildren, and their children to think about the courage and the heroism and, of course, the victory of the troops who fought on the Allied side in Second World War. This year of remembrance, or this day of remembrance, was celebrated several months ago in San Diego on the aircraft carrier Midway, which is stationed as a both a learning environment as a tourist attraction in the San Diego harbor. One of the great spirits of that day was the nurse, Edith Shane, who was the one who was pictured in the iconic Life magazine cover of the soldier coming home and kissing the nurse, that we all remember as sort of emblematic of the spirit of the end of the war and how everybody was overjoyed. Edith would go around the country talking about our great heroes. And unfortunately, before we could pass this bill today, she passed away at the age of 93 a few weeks ago. So in her spirit, but in the spirit of all those incredible people of the greatest generation, we offer this resolution so our country can always remember their bravery and courage. I would yield back.
Mr. Speaker, I'm pleased to yield to...
Okay, I think I'm going to hand the mic to my mother, Joy Beebe.
Good afternoon, Chair Boquist and members of the Senate Committee. I am Joy Beebe. I was born and raised in England, and I married an American soldier in 1945 who was stationed in my country in World War II. As a war bride, I came to the Salem-Keizer area, and I have been a resident of Keizer since 1948. I grew up on the outskirts of London in the 1940s, experiencing the Battle of Britain and the Blitz, followed by Hitler's vengeance weapons, the V1 and the V2. Many sleepless nights were spent either in the cupboard under the stairs or under our Morrison shelter, a large steel table issued to the families by the government to protect us in our homes. Many Londoners stayed night after night in the underground railway stations for safety or because their homes had been bombed. Surprisingly, the people of London never lost spirit. We believed we would survive. Winston Churchill convinced us. His speeches were so encouraging. Although we always knew we were alone, Churchill knew, did too. After December the 7th, 1941, attack on Pearl Harbor, America no longer wanted to wait. They no longer thought they should keep the isolationist policy. Young men rushed to sign up to keep the world free. One summer evening, I was sent by my government employer into the countryside of the south of England to help the Land Army girls harvest potatoes. Early evening, there was a lot of noise coming from the main road, so several of us walked over to see what was happening. We were astounded. Hundreds and hundreds of American soldiers were marching down the road to Southampton in full uniform with their duffel bags and rifles, singing and shouting. Officers were traveling in jeeps, other soldiers in cars, tanks, and large trucks with guns under tarps. A line that never seemed to end. It went on for hours. As it grew light, barrage balloons rose into the sky, hundreds of them covering the sky for miles. We watched for hours while this went on for two solid days. It was the 5th and 6th of June, 1944. As far as I know, the potatoes may still be in the ground because we watched history in the making. When America came into the battle, the tides turned. America had power, and their men were enthused about what they were about to see and do. However, they did not realize what was ahead, just as we had not known what would fall from the skies for us. War is shocking. When they moved to face the enemy, they watched their bodies fall, yet carried on with valor and determination. Though the road was long and difficult, they finally won, with memories too sad to share. World War II veterans deserve all the recognition they get. They were happy to come home to their families and to rebuild their lives and country. We must give them the honor they deserve, the thanks they richly deserved, so richly deserved 60 years ago. Bless them. I came to America as a war bride, and I know that I too should give them the praise they earned with the hardship and horror they endured so that you and I may live in freedom.
Thank you.
My name is Casey Chaffin, and I'm an 8th grader at Straub Middle School. My interest in World War II started with a report on Rosie the Riveter last year. However, one cannot research only one aspect of World War II. As I researched the Rosies, I found about rationing and the hardships people went through during the war, not to mention the abundance of gold stars that represented lost loved ones. Now, that was just the beginning. After I finished the report, the years of 1939 to 1945 were embedded in my brain. I love finding out even the most random facts. To be truthful, the random facts are the ones I find most interesting. Because of this newly found interest in World War II, my mom bought Mrs. Beebe's book, Snapshots of a War Bride's Life, for me, which in turn led to me meeting her. This heightened my interest in World War II even further. To hear her story from almost 70 years ago and how active she still is now made me respect the people of the greatest generation even more. Something I also find intriguing about the era is the trust people put into their communities. People could leave their doors unlocked and ask neighbors to babysit without worry if something going wrong. Nowadays, you can't even turn around without someone doing something horrible. Also, I believe most kids my age should learn about this generation. The 1940s were a time before cell phones and the internet, and people, in my opinion, lived fuller lives. A lot of kids think history is boring, and that's because of the general information we are presented. In history class, you don't get to hear about the little guys, including war brides, who made the era what it was. You don't get to learn about the small tidbits of information that make World War II interesting. In short, World War II changed the lives of many, and as a generation of plugged-in children, we are forgetting the past. Many kids' worlds now revolve around technology. I think the kids I go to school with should know that there were a lot harder things our grandparents and great-grandparents had to do than update a Facebook account. I think they should know we wouldn't be here if our ancestors didn't fight battles for us years before we were born. Thank you.
Thank you, young lady.
Chair, members of the committee, it's a pleasure for us to present the Spirit of 45 Day in recognition of World War II veterans. It's all about action and what happens next once you do this. And we're hoping to work with the communities, community partners, Veterans Affairs. I met with Oregon Historical Society this week, and they're very interested in combining their efforts with a Spirit of 45 theme as well. So we're really fortunate to have that. In addition to that, a new movie's come out called Honor Flight, and it's a couple hours, actually, Brian, not 90 minutes, I found out, which is very representative of World War II veterans going back, taking the journey back to their memorial. And the featured veterans are very, very charismatic folks today, as well as having very good experiences back in 1945. That concludes our testimony.
Thank you, Madam. Senator Courtney, question?
Okay.
Senator Olson?
I'd just like to make a comment. Thank you for your presentation. Young lady, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
You did a very good job. And ma'am, thank you for everything you went through and for coming to our beautiful state.
And thank you all three of you for coming and bringing this forward. And thank you, Ms. Jensen, for bringing it. I also want to note in the record that we've received written testimony from Golda Hammer, and that is in the record for members to review if they would like to. With that, colleagues, I'm going to close the public hearing on SB 832. And having said that, Madam Vice Chair is out of the committee room. I'm going to open a work session on SB 532 with the intent of 832, with the intent of putting the dash one amendment in it.
Chair Boquist, I move. Oh, did you want to describe it? Is that what you're supposed to do, or should I make the motion?
You can make the motion.
All right. Chair Boquist, I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated April 11, 2013.
Thank you. Thank you. Senator Courtney moves to adopt the dash one amendment dated April 11, 2013. Discussion? There's no discussion, so ordered. So, Council, if you'll explain the bill as it sits right now to the members of the committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as was described before and most eloquently by the witnesses today, Senate Bill 832 would designate every second Sunday in August as the Spirit of 45 Day in the state of Oregon. We received no revenue impact and no fiscal impact on the dash ones.
Senator Carter.
Chair Boquist, I move the Senate Bill 832 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves SB 832 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? If there's no discussion, I'd like the record to reflect that the Vice Chair is out of the room on Senate business. And if there's no opposition, so ordered.
Yes, I'll carry.
Thank you. Senator Olson would be delighted to carry this bill to the floor. With that, colleagues, I'm going to close the work session on SB 832, and we'll move on to the last bill of the last Senate bill of the last day of the last meeting regarding Senate bills and open a work session on SB 762. Madam Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 762 was previously heard on April 11th. It requires the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to create a public information campaign regarding suicide prevention and increase the breadth of their service provision via alternative means, that is, in addition to using their county veteran service officers. It declares an emergency and is effective on passage. As was described on the 11th, it has a series of amendments resulting, culminating in the dash 4, which was clarifying language arrived at between the Department of Transportation, Department of Veterans Affairs, primarily to reduce costs for the Department of Transportation so that they would act merely as a conduit, and contributions at the time of online renewals for vehicle registrations could be made by clicking on a donate button that would take the person from ODOT to the ODVA website as part of the funding mechanism for this program.
Thank you. Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Boquist, I move to adopt the dash 4 amendments dated April 10, 2013.
Madam Vice Chair, Mona Sanderson moves to adopt the dash 4 amendments dated April 10, 2013. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any opposition? So ordered.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 762 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves SB 762 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there discussion? Seeing none, is there opposition? So ordered. With that, colleagues, I'm going to close the work session on SB 762. And before we conclude, both senators are out of the room. We're excused for the vote. Do you want to go back to vote, or do you want to just move on?
I would like to.
Okay, so help me, counsel. Which am I going?
Unanimous right. Suspension of the rules for purpose of Senator Monis Anderson to vote on 532-2.
Colleagues, I'd like to suspend the rules to allow Senator Monis Anderson to vote on SB 532-2.
Pardon.
Excuse me.
It's President Courtney who is excused Senator Courtney on 532-2. And
correct.
Vice Chair Monis Anderson was not present when we took the vote on Senate Bill 832, sir.
Okay.
You guys got a couple bucks?
What's that around your neck?
It says Madam Vice Chair on Senate Bill 832.
It's a rope, and he's going to hang himself here shortly. Okay, so we'll go back to...
832.
We'll do Senator Monis Anderson's 832. Unanimous consent to go back to loud. Senator Monis Anderson, any dissent? How do you vote?
I would like to put something on the record. My father was in World War II. My uncle flew over Germany and dropped bombs. And my other uncle was in Japan. And so there was, I just have an affinity for World War II. And I want to thank you so much for bringing this forward. And I'm going to make sure that my grandkids carry the spirit on, too. Thank you.
And thank you. So the record should reflect that.
Bye.
I vote from Senator Monis Anderson at 832, so it comes out unanimously. Colleagues, I would like unanimous consent to go back to SB 532, which is the dash 2, to allow Senator Courtney to vote. Any opposition? So ordered. Senator Courtney?
Courtney votes aye.
And Senator Courtney votes aye. The record should reflect its unanimous vote coming out of the committee. With that, so ordered on SB 532. And colleagues, we will see everybody next Thursday.
I want to say one thing. There was a remark made. I want to clarify it. What's that around your neck? To Senator Olson, you thought of it. What I'm saying is there's a lanyard around his neck that his American flag is coming out of my background. I gave him that lanyard earlier this week. So his attempt to try to buy me to get him to let me vote, I was just reminding him that I generously gave him. He craved his lanyard like mine. Mine is blue with American flag. He craved one of those. And I personally gave him one from my many collections, and I was just trying to remind him of that when he was trying to say, what is it? You know, if you want me to unanimously suspend the vote, are you listening to this vote? Let you vote. What's in it? And I reminded him around his neck. So it wasn't anything to do with hanging. I just want you to understand that.
Senator Courtney, as the chair of the committee, I fully comprehend what you're saying.
Thank
I
you.
Will remind you that the Blue Light Special is on, and that the Oregon Ethics Commission, who deals with things like vote bribery, so on and so forth, would be delighted to hear that.
Well, that wasn't saying bribery.
Mr. Chair, I'm just disappointed that I don't have a lanyard.
Oh, here we go.
well, Madam Vice Chair, you can see where we rank, because I don't have a lanyard either.
All right. I'll get you all lanyards.
Colleagues, next week, Thursday.
Oh, Bran, she'd like you to mention this.
Oh.
I'm wearing it.
I have mine on Spirit of 45, folks. You want to make sure that you all got them.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, all of the members got a Spirit of 45 Alive armband that's armband for their arms.
Mr. Okay. President, or Mr. Chairman, I should say, would Ms. Jensen like to come when we bring the bill to the floor? If you'd like to be in attendance, we'd love to have you join us.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. You're invited. All right. Anybody else want to speak? I'm just checking. Okay. This is democracy at its finest. Okay. Meeting is concluded.